The class number two on the war. The war against evil. The war against evil. Verse number 11 is where we quit, and that's where we're going to bend again. You're supposed to put this armor on and keep it on. Never take it off.
I was understanding that the three pieces of the armor stays on all the time, and the other three we put on as we need it.
Yeah. This armor, as you come to it, you put it on permanently. Put it on, keep it on the whole armor of God. Now, you go back to Ephesians 4 and Romans the 13th chapter. You go to Romans the 1st chapter and you find out how evil the world is today. The world is a battleground, constant battleground. But the war is going to be won. The war, in the end, is won. Because Jesus won the war. Revelation, the 19th chapter, I can't read that too many times. I just love it. We see Jesus coming as the conqueror, as the ultimate warrior, as the ultimate general. And he wins the war, just like that. Zip. Zip. As he spoke the world into existence, he speaks evil out of existence.
He does it with the breath of his might.
Yeah, that's right. And says, bind on the whole armor of God. The armor is belonging to God. It's not ours. That we might be pros. Little old word there. Three pros is a little preposition. 3:46. In the analytical graph. For the purpose of. To be able. For you all. To stand. Stene. That second aorist infinitive active. Every time you need this armor, it's there. You put it on. And toward the methods. Methodios. We get our word Greek right out of that. The Greek language is a language of science. And fighting against Satan in each battle is a science. God already figured it out. The methods, the craftiness, the trail of Satan, of Diabolo, the destroyer. The word Diabolos means dia and balo. It means to destroy. It means to throw a spear through or a dart through. Just like they put a spear or a sword in Jesus' side when he was on the cross of Calvary. That was a dart of Satan. But you know what? Jesus died on that cross, but he was raised, and he raised himself 3 days later. The full armor of a warrior included the shield, the sword, the lance, the helmet, the greaves, the breastplate, Paul omits the lance and the spear, and then Paul adds the girdle and the shoes to the list of Polybius. Talks about this in ancient Greek. Many times that you see in the Bible it quotes something, it's quoting from an ancient poet. And Paul, even Peter, quoted from these ancient poets. And they used, but they added to that. It, just as it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, was your victory? That was an old saying, but the Lord applied that saying to Paul to Christian warfare today. Brother Art.
Yeah, when Paul is describing the armor, isn't he looking at a Roman soldier at that time?
That's right. He's looking at a Roman soldier. Looking at a Greek soldier.
It was the one that he was chained to.
These were the Romans and the Greeks. You know, the Greek Empire went and conquered in 14 years. They conquered almost all the world, all the way to India. And the Romans didn't conquer the Greek Empire because the Greek Empire split up in four different directions from the four generals of Alexander the Great. But then it used, the Romans used so much, the Romans used the Greek language. The Roman language was Latin, but most of their commerce and everything became in Greek. The culture, the idea, the structure of the empire was all Grecian. It wasn't Roman. And then the battle armaments that they had were basically what Alexander the Great used. And it's talking about that type of warfare. They're talking about the armor, the swords, the implements of destruction at that time, and the implements of what we might call protection also. So in armor you have protection and you have destruction. You have both. Offensive and defensive. Verse number 12 now. Face-to-face conflict to the end. Face-to-face conflict to the end. Now in an animal kingdom out there, when you, at the end of that video that I did of us going up in the mountains yesterday, at the end of that video is a short video of a great, big, gigantic elk, bull elk, over there on Highway 395 near Big Pine, California. That elk's horns were probably that tall and probably wider than that. Unbelievable amount of armament. And he had probably used it because there was no other bull elks around at all. He whipped them all off. They're gone. Now, so many of these animals fight to the death. You know, in the Philippines, they have a lot of fighting chickens. And they are jungle game fowl. That's what God created. There was the chicken. Now, they hybrid these chickens where they lay, where they grow them for food, whatever, you know, for meat and all of that. But those are the ones that God made. And they fight to the death. The hens will fight to the death, and so will the roosters. They fight to the death. A bull elk will fight to the death. A bear will fight to the death. Wolves many times fight to the death. Sometimes coyotes fight to the death. We see even certain fish that fight to the death. The fight that we have against Satan is to the death. To the end of our life. It's not for a while. It's for the whole life, the whole till the end of your life. Face to face. We have to face him every day face to face. 1 Corinthians 9:25, Matthew 16 and 17, Matthew 16 and 18. Let's look at that for just a minute. Matthew 16, 18. Now, this is contrary to what many people believe today, but this is the way it comes from Greek. Okay, Greek is the inspired Bible, not King James or anything else. Those are translations of the inspired Bible. In Matthew 16, 18, Jesus has been talking to his disciples. He asked them who he is, and Peter jumps up and says, "Isn't you are Christ, the Son of the living God," etc., etc. And he said, "That wasn't revealed to you by in the synagogue in Bethlehem or down there in Capernaum. It was revealed by God, your Father." And then he goes on to say this about his church. The church was already in existence. The church began at the seashores of Galilee when God called it out. When the Lord called his church out, that's when the church began. The word church is ecclesia in Greek, and it's iglesia in Spanish. Is that right, Brother Art? I know you don't speak fluent Spanish, but it's iglesia in Spanish. It comes from the Greek word ecclesia. Now, ecclesia means out called. Ek out. We got a sign, exit sign. It means ek out of it. Ek means out, and then kalio means to call out. Now, that was an old term. An old term when Jesus used it. It came from Alexander the Great. When he conquered areas, they would call together and elect an ecclesia. And that ecclesia would make all the decisions. It's like the a city council or whatever, you know. And they would make all the decisions of what taxes to collect, when to collect the taxes, what if they had to fix a road or whatever. They did all of this. If they had to raise an army, they did that, the ecclesia. So Jesus, when he come along, he uses that term for his ecclesia, his church, his army, his city. Every church is a city within a city, or a democracy within a democracy, or a democracy even in communism or socialism or whatever. Thomas Jefferson went to a Baptist church meeting one time, a business meeting. He said he thought that was the purest form of democracy there ever was. That purest form of democracy came from New Testament churches, Baptist churches. That's the only place that's been found. Not in any other church, in Baptist churches only. They're democracies. Everyone else is something different. From Catholicism to Presbyterian rule to whatever. You can have in the Northern Baptist Association, you have Presbyterian rule in their churches. Well, Ephesians 6 and 10 talks about spiritual warfare. But Matthew 16, 18 talks about spiritual warfare also. But it gives us something very important to know. Jesus looked at Peter and he said, Peter, you're a little rock. You're a little stone. You're not a foundation stone. You're a little stone. But upon this great foundation stone, he pointed to himself, I'll be building my church. Not on you, Peter, but upon me. And it said, the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. He said, the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down. But what does that mean? It means that there will be a true New Testament church in the world all during the church age. That's a promise of God, isn't it? Jesus himself, he called the ecclesia out. Matthew 28:18-20, it says in King James, it says, go ye therefore. But in the Greek, it says, after you've been run off, after you've been scattered out, make disciples. Make disciples. How do you do that? How do you make habitual learners? By teaching them. Make disciples. Teaching them, telling them to guard with their lives. It's the same thing, that word terrain there in Greek. That's like what in the Old Testament where God told Adam to guard the garden. How do you teach a New Testament church to guard the church? You got to teach doctrine, for one thing. Any church that says that we don't teach doctrine is lying to you. You got to teach something. Every teaching is doctrine. Every who Jesus is, who God is, who angels are, all of these are doctrines. You have no doctrine. And how do you have churches guard against the methods of Satan? By teaching them truths, by gardens, doctrines. It says, make disciples. Teaching them to guard with their lives. You baptize these disciples in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then they teach them to guard with their lives those things which I have handed down to you. And then it says, lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. So we know that until the end of the church age, the Lord's going to be with us. That churches, and churches are made up out of people, aren't they? It's not a building. We are in a very small building right now, but this is the church. Small building. Some of my members aren't out here. Some of them are, some of them aren't. It says, be able to stand against the methods of the devil, because not is to us the pale. The word pale there is this wrestling. This word is to wrestle. To wrestle. Did you ever wrestle in high school or anything, Art? No, no. The wrestling. Now this is the Greek games. Greek culture, Greek games again. Here, the wrestling. He said, for not it is to us the conflict, the wrestling match against blood and flesh. We're not wrestling against blood and flesh. We're not wrestling against other people, so to speak. Now, In the Philippines right now, you've got the Catholic Church in a lot of power. You've got the Islam. You've got the Muslim power. And both of those are conquering societies. They're twin kissing cousins. Because both of them conquer by power and by politics. True New Testament churches are separate from the state. Islam and Catholicism are part of the state. They all want to control everything. And that whole idea didn't come from flesh and blood, so to speak, but it came from the spiritual forces of darkness. If I put this chart up here for just a moment. We look back in time, history. Here's what the Lord called the church out now, okay? The church has been in spiritual warfare ever since. In 325 A.D., we have Constantine the Great coming on the scene. And he established a church state. That was, the vices of that was not from God. It's from Satan. Now the initial idea was is to give Christians they had been persecuted at that time up until that time, but now if you are his type of Christian you can live. If you're not his type of Christian you can't live. And so he set rules for what the Catholic Church was going to be. And the first head of the church, Pontific Maximus, was Constantine the Great. The Catholic Church doesn't go fast any further than 325 A.D. That's where it began. Now, they try to write a history and say they had a pope all the way back to Peter, but there is no pope. He really wasn't the pope, but the pope's title, the Pontifex Maximus, he took. And he was the apostle of God, they said, and everything that Alexander said was ex cathedral or inspired. And they began to conquer by the sword. And they went, wherever they went, they took the swords with them, and they hold a sword or a knife to a man's throat and said, do you want to become part of the church Catholic? Or do you want to die? Well, they converted whole towns and cities and everything by force. And then we have another student of Catholicism. And his name was Muhammad. He was born about 570 A.D., right in here, when Muhammad was born. Muhammad brought forth teachings that talked about the one God. Now, we could go into that really deep, but we won't. But anyway, his teachings weren't taken off very well at all. But then he adopted the tactics of the Catholic Church. And what do you do? Now, Muhammad supposedly came from Mecca. Except Mecca didn't exist at that time. There's a problem with that. He probably came from Petra, around that area, down in that area. Everything he describes about Mecca really does not coordinate with Mecca. But he began to teach these teachings, and they ran him off. And he escaped Mecca and went to Medina. He got down in Medina, which was a Jewish colony. And he went down there and talked to men to make him a judge and all kinds of things. Well, then he began to persecute the Jews down there. And then he won't go back, and he goes back and completely conquers by deceit. He makes a contract with the people in Mecca, which was his family, the Quraysh, was the ones that ran the place, supposedly. And he makes a contract, and only the treaty is only until he gets strong enough, and then he's going to break the treaty. It's a hudnah. And so he goes back and he conquers the place. He kills all the enemies there. And then he goes out. But in the meanwhile, Every time one of his family, one of the people from Mecca, wherever they had these caravans, he would attack the caravan. He would kidnap and extort money from them. All of it was by the sword. Now, if you didn't convert, you died. Simple as that. You converted or you died. His doctrines didn't matter. The force mattered. And it all became church-state. The Catholic Church is a political religious society. Islam is a political religious society. Now, we wrestle against people like this. Baptists don't go out with a sword to do anything. The only time Baptists fought in history was the American Revolution, so they have a place where you could have freedom of religion. And they didn't have that in the Constitution. They fought against the Constitution because it didn't have the First and Second Amendment in it. And that the First and Second Amendments were attributed only, basically, to the Baptists here in America, demanding the right to defend themselves against evil, not religiously. The first colony in America in 1638-1639, Providence and Newport, Rhode Island, were established by Baptists. And you could be an atheist there if you wanted to. You could be a Catholic. You could be whatever you wanted to be. And you weren't taxed. In every church-state situation, the taxes support, the state support the preachers. But in God's laws, the congregation supports the pastor. It's a democracy. Now, when we fight religious wars, even though we fight against people that are indoctrinated in killing for their religion, jihad, as the Muslims call it, the Catholic Church, it was the Crusades. The Crusades were not Christians. The Crusades were not Christian. They were murders. They murdered back and forth against the Mediterranean, back and forth. The Muslims going into Europe and being there in Spain, especially for hundreds of years, and they're fighting back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, to take back the Holy Land, supposedly, the Christian Crusades were. The only thing holy about that land was the man that walked it, Jesus. Because I guarantee it was ungodly. So we wrestle not against our conflict. Our wrestling is not against flesh and blood. And then it has an olive there, which is look that one up on page 15 in Analytical Greek Lexicon. It's called a strong adversative conjunction. But is what it means. That's real loud. But our wrestling in close contact is not against flesh and blood, but towards the rulers. Now we're talking about Islam and Catholicism. We're talking about what's behind them. Not so much them, but what's behind them. And Satan's behind them. Against the archos. The archos. That means the heads of society, wherever they are. But as we look in the book of Daniel, between every nation has an angel. There is a protective, a guardian angels, good and bad, by the way. Did you know that? There are bad angels, fallen angels, that are protecting Satan's societies. You want to see some of that? Just look in Washington, D.C. today. Bad angels. Powerful beings. Satan took one-third of the angelic and spiritual forces against him. And let me make a little bit of differences here, different than what most people or some people say. You know, everybody in the Christian world today writes books about this and this and that, whatever, you know. And they write books about angels sometimes. And angels are demons. Fallen angels are demons. Fallen angels are not demons. They're fallen angels. Demons are fallen spirits. Now, angels have form. They are clothed beings. We're getting a lot into this, aren't we, Brother Ray? Because the angels, the archos, are spiritual forces. The angels have form. They can travel between dimensions. We know there's at least 10 or 11 dimensions, and they can go between them all. Spirits are not clothed. They always seek to dwell in human or animal flesh. Fallen spirits are demons. There are ministering spirits, which are not fallen spirits, and we have ministering angels. We have guardian angels, and we have ministering spirits. And they're two different entities. In the spiritual, in the mental, and the informational realm, communication realm, there are fallen spirits and fallen angels in all those realms. Now, this is spiritual forces that we're talking about here. Heads, forces. But there are singular rulers, prime ministers, presidents, whatever you want to call them, that are under these forces. And we can see the history of this through the history of the world, Western civilization even. I remember in history in 1800, in what we call the Age of Reason, they began to propagate atheism, and ethics were not really, didn't matter. Whatever you did justified the means. If you were, it's just like today. Now, many people called me a Southern Democrat years ago. I don't want to have anything with the Democratic Party at all today to do with them at all. The idea of it is that no matter how much they have to cheat, steal, lie, or whatever they do, they want the power. That type of entity is not of God. We here in America, we have basically two parties, the Republicans and Democrats. The Republican Party, when Abraham Lincoln started, was not the Republican Party today. It would be the Democratic Party. Because everything that he did and everything that he did is what the Democrats are doing today. He took over the United States. He divided the United States in his speeches, and then he destroyed the South. Slavery was going away, no matter what. It's going. It's a thing of the past. It was going away. Every nation, and they did it without a war. But he demanded a war because he wanted the tax money. The union was a voluntary union. The states were voluntary states in the union until Abraham Lincoln. That's different. That's when America changed. He laid aside habeas corpus. If anybody in the North wrote against him, they mentioned all of their property was immediately confiscated and they were put in jail without a reason. This happened. This is history. Just look it up. But they make excuses for it. They said, well, he destroyed slavery. No, he didn't destroy slavery. Slavery still was on in the North. Children were still put to work by the time they were 4 and 5 years old in the factories. There was still slavery. Your soul was sold to the company store or whatever. Now we're racially divided again. We're racially divided now, like we've never been before, because every word that they say is racial. And all of this is what? It comes from spiritual forces, doesn't it? Spiritual forces divide and conquer. Not against flesh and blood, against rulers. Rulers, and toward the authorities. The word rulers there, that means heads, that means like big angels and big forces, big demon spirits. We have ministering spirits from God's world, God's sphere, and then we have guardian angels, but then we also have what? We have both sides. And both sides are at war. We're living in a war. Toward the rulers, toward the authorities, exousia. The word authorities there means unlimited power. Exousia means out of it. It means no limits. Now, spiritual forces, when we have something what's called paranormal or supernatural, we have something beyond human abilities. It says, these supernatural powers, and toward the ones behind the world system of evil. And what we have here is cosmos and krateros. Cosmos means the world. There we have world grabbers. Who was a world grabber? Who was the first world grabber? Satan, when he rebelled against God. He was a world grabber. He wanted to take over the material creation of God, and in that rebellion, he destroyed his dominion. He was a world grabber. You know, communism doesn't come in and peacefully talk people into something. They tell you you can't say anything. You don't have your right to speech. You no longer have that. That's what it is right here. You have to believe one thing. They want no opposing party, just exactly like Abraham Lincoln did in America. I know you've heard how wonderful he was. Well, that's propaganda. You go back and study the story of what he did and how many lives he had to come out. For some reason why he killed 75 million people. Or 750,000 people, that is, not counting civilians that were killed by him and his armies, by Sheridan and Grant. Exousia is toward the world grabbers, is from behind the screen, from behind the curtain. That is so. Remember the Iron Curtain? Remember that? Remember the different places in the world, like North and South Korea, like East and West Germany and such? The forces of evil behind the screen of darkness, the ones belonging to darkness. The ones belonging to darkness. These spiritual powers, these spiritual authorities, these rulers, and they're all belonging to darkness. Belonging to darkness. And this toward the pneumatica. Pneumatica. The spiritual forces of evil, ponerios, in the heavenly places. So everything you see taking place on earth is taking place in heaven. You have angels fighting angels. You have spirits fighting spirits. And we are down on the earth, epites geis, el haaretz. We're on the earth, and we're seeing all this take place, but really this warfare is in the heavens. And the warfare is in you, between the Adamic nature and your spiritual nature. Of course, those that aren't born of God, they don't have a conflict. They just go at it. Daniel, Ezekiel, talks about these conflicts. Daniel and Ezekiel. Our Father, we send this little message out for your honor and glory, for the education of God's people, to know what we're fighting against in the world today. The age that we live in places in the world we know that it's more difficult to live. In some places you can't even breathe the name of God. or the name of Jesus without being subject to death. Father, please watch over your children wherever they are in the world. Give them strength, give them hope, and that they'll know that we don't fight against flesh and blood here so much as we fight against the spiritual forces behind the flesh and blood. Use your message, Father, for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.